Today's year in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shkolim, Daf Tes. We're beginning on Tes Omer Aleph, four lines from the top. We are going to now define what is this Shir of Revius. We talked yesterday about the Dalet Kosos, and today we're going to discuss what is the Shir of Revius very shortly at the very beginning. Kama hu Shir Shel Kos. What is this Shir? We know it's Revius, we've spoken about it. What is this Shir of a Kos? So we have the opinion of Rav Yossi, B'shem Rav Yossi ben Pazi, Rav Yossi bar Bibi, both of these two Rav Yossis, this second one was Rav Yossi bar Bibi. He said it in the name of B'shem Rabbi Shmuel. And they said that the Shir is based upon a certain volume, Etzba'ayim, which is two finger breadths, Al Etzba'ayim, by two finger breadths, so the length and the width are 2 by 2 finger breadths, Arum, and the height is Etzba, one finger breadth, Umechza, and a half of a finger breadth, Ushlish Etzba, and a third of a finger breadth. This all adds up all together to be 1 5/6 of a finger breadth in terms of the height. So it's 2 by 2, by almost 2 by 1 5/6 finger breadths in height. Now, the only problem is that we just had this not that long ago in the Gemara in Psachim. And in Psachim there, we said that the volume of a revius was 2 by 2 by 2.7. So how come you have such a discrepancy between our Gemara here in Shkolim and the Gemara in Psachim? So Tosus over there in Shkolim said it's depending on the size of the etzba. The etzba that they used over here is what's called the etzba Tziporis, and the etzba that they used in Psachim, in the Bavli, was the etzba Midborius, and that's why there's a slight difference between the two. In any event, this is the shear of the revius. Now the Gemara continues and says, Tani, we learned that a brisa, this is a Gemara in Shabbos, Yovesh, if you have dried up wine, if you have concentrated wine that's so concentrated, or the wine is so dried out that you freeze-dried the wine, and you're just left over here with a glob of concentrated, congealed wine, so then the shear for carrying that on Shabbos that's considered significant is a kizayis. This is the opinion, Divrei Rav Nosson. Now, we have this in parentheses over here, but it makes sense, so we read it. Now, the Rabbanim, the Kisri, the rabbis in Kisri, and the Girsan, the Bavli is, this is Rav Yossi, the Rabbi Bibin, B'shem Rabbi Shmuel. The answer that we have over here is that it's the Rabbanan de Kisri, and also the Rabbi Yossi bar Bibi B'shem Shmuel. In any event, they said, Asya de Rabbi Nosson, this Shita of Rabbi Nosson, that a kizayis of the dried wine is considered to be a significant shear. So they say that this goes in accordance, Rabbi Nosson's Shita goes in accordance with Kirabi Shimon, like the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. This is a machlokas in Shabbos as well, regarding a machlokas that Rabbi Shimon holds, that you need to have a full revius, whereas the Chacham say, no, you need a revius of the total, which is the water plus the wine, so therefore the shear is a revius of revius to be significant. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, you have to have the entire full revius to be considered significant. Kemar, the Rabbi Shimon Amar Revius, just like he said over there, that it's a revius, so too over here, Ken Amar Rabbi Nosson, Rabbi Nosson says, when you're dealing with the dried wine, you need berevius as well, kishe yikrash, that when it congeals, v'yeh bo kizayis. So a revius is worth of wine, when it congeals, will become a kizayis. Okay, so Rabbi Nosson Shita is consistent with the Shita of Rabbi Shimon and the Gemara in Shabbos. Now we have an interesting scenario, Rabbi Simon. Rabbi Simon said, b'shem Rabbi Shuben Levi, the name of Rabbi Shuben Levi, that Maisa Befirdas Rebbe Shemesa. There once was a ferret. A ferret is a mule that was in the house of Rebbe, and the animal died. And now the question was in terms of Tumas Devela. So they paskin in the house of Rebbe, the Tiaru as Doma Mishum Nevela. And they said that the blood of this mule was not Tame, like the Nevela meat of the dead mule. The blood was not Tame. So the question was, the shawl, now the Girsa that we have is Rabbi Eliezer, but it really says on the side, the Girsa should be Rabbi Elazar. So the shawl Rabbi Elazar is Rabbi Simon. So when this statement was made by Rabbi Simon in the name of Shubin Levi, so Rabbi Elazar questioned this and he said, Ad Kama, is this an absolute rule? Or are you saying that only if you have a limited amount of blood, it's not Matame, but when you reach a significant shear, such as the shear of a kizayis, then it is Tame, like the basa would be Tame. So that was the question that Rabbi Elazar asked Rabbi Simon. Below Ashkach Be, and he didn't bother to answer him. As the Tikkun Chatkin says, Lo Hishivo Klum. He ignored him. He didn't answer him at all. Now, he then went to ask Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. So Rabbi Elazar couldn't get the answer from Rabbi Simon, so he went to the source. The statement Rabbi Simon made was the name of Yeshua ben Levi, so he went to ask Yeshua ben Levi. And Yeshua ben Levi told him, Mishal, Yeshua ben Levi, Rabbi Elazar asked Yeshua ben Levi, and he told him, Amalei, said, no, that this wasn't that it's tar in the absolute, it was Adrevi's tar. If you only have a small amount of the blood of the mule, so then it's not Matame. However, Yoser mi Revius, but if you have more than a Revius, then it is Matame. Now, that was the answer that Rabbi Elazar was looking for from Yeshua ben Levi. Now, Rabbi Simon said the statement in the name of Yeshua ben Levi, Mestama, Rabbi Simon knew this as well. And therefore, Uboash, the gears on the side says, Uboat, Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar was either upset, Uboash is a lashon of his Surayim, the Tiklin Chaditin says, he was upset, Al Shalom Heshiv, Rabbi Simon, why didn't Rabbi Simon tell him? Well, you have the gears Uboat, so some suggest, the Tiklin Chaditin says that he took his shoe, the Dorfach also besandlo, that he gave him a zetz, that he gave him a patch. He says, how come he didn't tell me? So the Gemara says, that's what he did. Boash or Boat, Rabbi Elazar, ad lo chazal le Rabbi Simon shemuasa. He was upset that, why didn't Rabbi Simon tell him this? Mestama, he knew this if he said over this the statement in the name of Yeshua ben Levi. We have a similar story. Again, the Karban Eda has some of the names different over here, and who said what to who. We'll just leave it with the Girsa that we have. And the next case is Rav Bibi, Havi Yosef, Masnei Hodein Uvda. Rav Bibi was once sitting there, and he said over this entire memory that we just said between Rav Simon in the name of Rav Yeshua ben Levi. And Omar Lei, Rav Yitzchak, Bar, the Girsa that we have should be Bar Bisna, and we leave out the word Kahana. So Rav Yitzchak Bar Bisna said the same thing to him, and he said, Ad Revi is Tar Yosef Mikan Tomei. Did this, in fact, didn't hold that up to Revius it was Tar, but more than Revius it's Tomei, like the ultimate answer that Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi had said before, and that's what Rav Yitzchak Bar Bisna asked to Rav Bibi when he said this over, Ubad Bay. And again, either he ignored him, or that he said, no, I don't want to give you the answer, gave him a zetz, whatever. So the Gemara says, Amalei Rav Zrika saw this, and he said to Rav Bibi, just because he asked you a question, you give him a zetz, begin the shalach at a boit bay, because somebody asks you a shayla. You go give somebody a zetz, you ignore somebody, that's not the right way to do things, what's going on? So he apologized. So Amalei Rav Bibi said to Rav Zrika, begin the lohavis dati be, boit no bay, because I'm not fully comfortable right now. My mind isn't at ease, so therefore, that's why I ignored him or I gave him a zetz. I didn't treat him properly, but please, I've been preoccupied with something, so it's not my fault. I didn't do it intentionally. I was preoccupied, and therefore, I apologize. Why? Because Domer Rav Hanan, Rabbi Hanan said, we have the famous pasuk from the Tochacha. It says, Vayu chayecha tuluim lecha mineged. Your life will be literally hanging in the balance. Ufachadata, you'll be afraid. Laila of Yomim, day and night, you're going to be terrified. Lotamim b'chayecha, and you're not going to be sure that you're going to live. So what does this pasuk mean? So we darsh it in three ways. First person is, this is a person that has enough money, he can buy wheat for the whole year. But as the Tikkun Chadakin says, he doesn't have crops, so therefore he doesn't have a field, so he doesn't know what's going to be for next year. No, right now he has money, he can buy enough food for this year, but what's going to be for next year? So this is a person that his life is hanging in balance. However, you have a guy who's even worse off, he doesn't have enough money for the whole year, he has enough money for only a couple of days. Sidki is like the storekeeper, and he's able to buy from him a couple of days worth of food. So, okay, he's good for a couple of days, but this person, this Sidki, this Mocher Tvua, so he's just buying for a couple of days right now, and who knows what's going to be at the end of the week. And then you have even the person who's worse off, and that's Rabbi Bibi said, this was me. The Lotamin Bachayach, a person that doesn't even know that he's going to live, said, Lokeach Min HaPalter, this is a person that doesn't have enough money to buy grain Tvua for a couple of days. He goes in and he buys a sandwich. He goes in and buys a loaf of bread. So that's it. When that's done, he has nothing else. And therefore, that person really is always living in tremendous fear and trepidation. And Rav Bibi said, Vano, me, Samichno Apalter. I have no money. And I'm relying. I just bought my last money. I just bought a loaf of bread. So I don't know what's going to be tomorrow. And that's why I was preoccupied and I didn't properly answer Rav Yitzchak Bar Bisna. Gemara says, no, what's the psak halach over here? Do we paskin that it is a congealed revius is in fact considered to be significant or not? Umau chedon, how do we paskin? So heyed Rabbi Yeshua ben Psora. That's the girsa that we have, that it's Rabbi Yeshua ben Psora. If you look in the Mishnayos and Edios, and you can see this in the Korban Edo, though he has the wrong citation. He says it's Perek Vov in Edios. It really should be in the 8th Perek in Edios. And it says over there, not the Gersa of Yeshua ben Pesora, but it says Rabbi Yeshua ben Besera. So it says, Hayid, he was testifying. Edios is the Masechta, which deals with many of the Tanoim stating things as an Edos. And that's why it's known as the Bechir. It's known as the very special and very exact Masechta. And we usually paskin like Edios. In any event, so Hayid, Rabbi Yeshua ben Pesora, Rabbi Yeshua ben Besera, al dam nevela shu tar. That he said there that the dam nevela is tar. So what does it mean that it's tar? Where it says mal tar, tar milahachshir. It means that it can't be making something mukshal kabel tumah. Normally we have the seven liquids yad shoch adam, which we've gone through that mnemonic many times, and the dalit in that mnemonic stands for dam. So normally dam is able to be machshir something likabel tumah, but not all dam. And this dam over here from dam nevela is tar milahachshir. However, aval letamos mitame. But if you have a shear of revius, it is in fact mitame. So therefore, the Gemara wants to explain that Rabbi Yeshua ben Pesora, Rabbi Yeshua ben Meseira, is not saying that the dam of a nevela is tar, he's just saying it's not machshel kabatuma, but it is in fact capable of being metame. Gemara says, no, but we learned in a Mishnah in Machshirin, which deals with making something mukshel kabel tuma. So tamon taminim, we learned over there that dam hasheretz kibisaro, that the dam of a sheretz is like its basar. In other words, it's metame, it has the ability to be metame, just like the basar of a sheretz is metame, so is the dam of a sheretz metame. However, the eino machshir, but it doesn't have the ability to be making something mukshel kabel tuma. Okay, that's fine. What does that have to do with the dam of the mule, or the dam of an avela? So the Gemara, the Mishnah over there says, "Vein lono kayotzibo." That's the only type of dam that's not machshir lekabel tumah, implying that all other dam is machshir lekabel tumah. And therefore, when Rabbi Yeshua ben Meseira said that the dam in an avela is tar, it's not talking about its ability to be machshir lekabel tumah. It is able to be machshir lekabel tumah. It's just not mitame. So therefore, this understanding that you just brought forward is wrong. So the Gemara says, and now we'll go with the girsa that we have in the Vilna Gaon Osei, where he says, Dilma l'shiur tum'oso shedomu metame kivzoro. He says, in fact, that Mishnah in Machshirim is saying that it's unique in that the shear of the blood of a sheretz is like the shear of the basar of a sheretz, which is a kadasha, and there you don't need a kizayis. So in that respect, ein lanu kayotzibo, there is nothing else that has that same din where the blood is like the basar, and the shear is kadasha. Every place else, it's kizayis. But, abol shedamo mitame kibsoro, but the blood is in fact mitame, like the basar, and therefore, the dam of a nevela is going to be mitame, and it is not going to be the same as a sheretz, where it's a kadasha, but it's going to be a kizayis, which will be the shear of a revius, and it is not machshir lekabel tumah, and that explanation is able to stand. Amar Yosef, Yosi says, Pligi bo train Amarayim. The following two Amarayim had an argument. Chad Omar Tomei v'chad Omar Tar. In regards to this dam of a nevela, one said, we paskin, in fact, that it is Tomei, and one said, no, we paskin that even though you have more than a revius, it is not going to be Tomei. The dam is Tar, like the simple understanding of Yeshua ben Besera. Now, Man the Amar Tomei, the one who says that it's Tomei, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. This is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. What is that? This is also a Mishnah in Edios, where it says that Beis Hillel holds that the blood of a nevela is in fact going to be metame. And the Gemara in Shabbos tells us that that means that it's metame if you have the shear of a kizayis. So therefore, that opinion that it's Tomei holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Umando Amatara, the other opinion that we just brought down from one of the Amoraim, that it was Tar, that opinion goes like the simple understanding, the simple reading of Rabbi Yeshua ben Pesora, Rabbi Yeshua ben Besera, that says that it's Tar. Not like the way we just explained it, but like the simple understanding that says that the dominant veil is Tar. Now we delete the Nusach Acher, and we just go straight to Amale Rav Avduma de Min Nechusa. Rav Avduma, that's the name of the Rav, who came from a place called Nechusa, said, he said that this statement that Rav Yossi just made is in fact correct. It is indeed the emes. The Rabbi Yehuda Moriana the Bein Nesiyah Haba, because Rabbi Yehuda was the posek for the Bein Nesiyah, and therefore, if we just said that in Rebbe's house they said that the dam of an avela was tameh when it was more than a reviz, so that in fact was the psak of Rabbi Yehuda, who was the posek for the house of Rebbe. Now we said in the Mishnah Shema Yoni Yomu v'chulei. We said in the Mishnah that we don't go and let anybody walk into the area where they did the trumas halishka. With, for example, if they had a hem up there, the bottom of their garment, or we didn't let them walk in with their minal or sandal, their shoes or their sandals. We didn't let them walk in with tefillin. They wouldn't walk in with a kameya, because we're concerned that people will be suspicious that they hide something in those areas. Now, Tani Rabbi Shmuel said, kovutz lo yitrom. A person who's a kovutz, what is a kovutz? So the Tiklun Charitin says that this is bal seyor. This is a person who has a lot of hair. But he brings out a gears from the Rambam that says it's kovutz who oni shetoyev lemos. It's a poor person that's desirous of money. In other words, this is a person that there's a suspicion about him that maybe he's going to go in there, and if he has long hair, he'll hide some coins in his hair, or that he's a person desperate in need of money, so then he would be somehow suspected of going and taking money. And we don't let them go in there, lo yitrom, we don't let them do the trumas halishka, mipnei hachshad, because these people, either because they have long hair and they can hide it there, or because they're desirous of money, because they're a very poor person. So we don't let them do this because people will suspect them. Furthermore, Tani, we learn, Hagizbari, when you mefasfasin bekilkalin, that they would go, and the Tiklun Chatan says they had big date semer, there's woolen garments, and when you mafridin hanimos, they would separate the threads from these garments so people could see that there was nothing left in between these threads. No coins were put in there. Shol yach shadu shetoman besochan. So they wanted again to be nikiyim Hashem v'Yisrael. They wanted to demonstrate that they're absolutely not ganavim. So they showed everybody that there's no coins in between the garments. Furthermore, Tani, we learned midabrin hayuimo. The person who would go inside to do the trumas halishka was constantly being talked to. He had to constantly talk. So people shouldn't be choshed. Be sure shu nichnas at shor shu yotze from the minute that he entered to the minute that he left. So they weren't. They saw that he was talking. They knew that he didn't have any coins hidden in his mouth. If he was silent, so then he could put some coins in his mouth, and nobody would know. So therefore, you can't talk with coins in your mouth. So therefore, they constantly talk with him, again, to remove this suspicion that could possibly be cast upon such a person. Shmuel says, why do you have to talk? Just let him go in with his mouth full of water and let him come out with his mouth full of water. Yimale pume moi. So let him go in with water in his mouth and come out with water in his mouth, and nobody will be able to suspect him, because how did he get a coin in there and still have the water in his mouth? Shmuel says, I'm a Rabbi Tenchuma. No, because mnei bracha. Because there was a certain bracha that they would say on Trumas Alishka. It's again, it's a bracha nebuch that we've never heard. And lahafrish truma, and therefore we would love to go and hear this bracha mitz Hashem when we do the truma salishka mitz Hashem, even today b'mehir b'yomeinu. Okay, Gemara continues and says Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachman b'shem Rabbi Yonah's son. Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachman said in the following in the name of Rabbi Yonah's son that we have a source for this idea to remove chashad by Torah ubanavim ubaksuvim motzano. That we have sources. We already mentioned some of them previously. We'll mention them again now in the Gemara. That we have sources from Tanakh, both in Torah nevim and ksuvim, that teach us this idea that you have to be absolutely clean in the minds of people. It's not enough that you're just clean in the eyes of Hashem. He knows he didn't do anything, but you have to try and go and be clean in the eyes of people. And this idea is Sha'adam Sarach Lotse Sideha Brios. Kidera Shu Tarach Lotse Sideha Makum. Person should be seen to be absolutely innocent, not only by a Kodesh Baruch Hu, of course, who knows that you're innocent, but even in the eyes of people. But Torah, in the Torah, where do we have this? Minayin, so we have this pasuk to see it. V'yisem nekiyim me'ashem v'yisrael. Person has an obligation not only to be seen to be clean in the eyes of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, but also to be clean in the eyes of the Jewish people. Where do you find this in Nach, in Novi, Benevi'im, Minayin, Tichsid? The pasuk says, Kel Elokim Hashem, V'gomer, and then the pasuk ends, V'Yisrael, Hu Yeda. Person has to know, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to know, that you're clean. And this was a famous maisa when there almost was a civil war in Klal Yisrael. This is when Pinchas HaKohen is actually referred to, the only time in all of Tanakh that Pinchas HaKohen, it always says Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, here's the only time it says Pinchas HaKohen. He earned his kahuna by making shalom between Klal Yisrael, because the Shevatim of Reuven, Gad, and Chatzi Shevet Menashe had made a mizbeach, and now that was making a mizbeach outside the Mishkan, so there almost was a civil war, but Pinchas HaKohen was able to make peace, and therefore the Reuven, God, and Chatzi Shevet Menashe showed that not only were they Nikiyim in the eyes of Hashem, they had no intention of making Mizbeach there. This was like a museum. And therefore, they had to show to Klai Yisrael as well that they were innocent. So that's why we see this pasuk. And finally, where we have this in the Ksuvim, Minayin, because the pasuk says, they'll say, we had this pasuk previously, where it says, U'matzo chayim v'seichel tov b'inei Elokim v'yodam. You have to be found to be clean in the eyes of not only HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but in also the eyes of man. Gamliel Zuga, that was the name of this person, Shaul Reb Yossi bar Reb Yibun, asked Reb Yossi bar Yibun, which is the best of these three drashos, Ezu HaMechuva, which is the whitest, which is the best, Shebekulam, which is the Bechir, which is the best drasha from this Tanakh, Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim drashos. And he said, the simplest one is the Chumash, Amalei, the Yisra Nekiyim, Hashem, and Yisrael. That says it all. One has to do everything in his power, not only to be clean in the eyes of Hashem, but to be clean in the eyes of all of Klal Yisrael. Halacha Gimel, next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us the actual way that they would go and take the Trumas HaLishka. So, we mentioned this previously. In the household of Rabbi Gamliel, they had the minog that they wanted their coins specifically to be used in the Trumas HaLishka, even though halachically it made no difference. They wanted the satisfaction of having their coins used. So right before the Trumas HaLishka, they would go in there with the coins in between the fingers to show everybody, look, I'm donating my coin. And they would then throw it, Mizarku, Lefnei HaTorim, right in front of the person who would do the Trumas HaLishka. And that person would then make sure that when he was taking the money for the funds over there and putting it into the three boxes that each held three saw, so he would make sure of Atorim, this person, Miskavin, he would intentionally go, Udechofu L'socha Kupa, make sure that he took the coins from Rogalil's household and make sure that that came into these boxes and therefore would get used for the actual funding of the Korbanos that year from that collection from the Trumas HaLishka. Now, the way this process would work was they did it with a big public fanfare. They wanted to do this and publicize this. So the person that would do the Trumas HaLishka would say to the Beis Din that was over there, can I go and do the Trumas HaLishka? Then the Beis Din would tell him, to Rome, to Rome, to Rome. They would say it three times. Again, this idea of three times is to publicize it. I find this in many, many places. They would say, Mekudesh, 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 when the new moon was being sanctified by the Edom. So the concept of doing things three times is to publicize it. Now, how did they actually do the Trumas HaLishka? Tormis Rishona. They would take the first time, which was the Prosa Pasach, and they would go and do the Trumas HaLishka. They would take the coins that were there and put them into these three containers with three saw in each container, and then the leftover coins that were there, they didn't take all the coins, the chipa bekotavlios. They covered up the remaining coins over there with these kotavlios. What are these kotavlios? So the Riva Von says this is a mechasa, some sort of a cover that they would make out of leather, ba'or. And they did this as a simon. But they would know anything underneath this is from the shiore halishka, was from funds that were not taken in these three boxes, and therefore they have a different halachic status according to some, and therefore they weren't able to be used anymore for the next Trumas HaLishka, and that's why they covered them up as a simon. So therefore, they would put this over the coins, so the next coins that were brought in would be on top of this leather, and they would be used for the next Trumas HaLishka. Hashnia, which was the pros atzeres, they would take this coins 15 days before Shavuos, the chipa, the kotablios, and they would do the same thing. They would take off the three boxes, the three kupas, the three saw each of the second Trumas HaLishka, and then they would put another cover, the kotablios, they would put another mechasa on top of them, so everything underneath this would now be also shiori halishka and wouldn't be used for the next time. And then Hashlishis, the third time that they did it, pros hachag, 15 days before Sukkot, so they took off the third Trumas HaLishka, lo yom chapa. They didn't have to put a cover on that because they wouldn't be doing any more Trumas HaLishka. The lo yom chapa, what was the purpose of covering it up? Shema yishkach, because they didn't want to, by accident, take from the shiore halishka, the yitrom in hadover atarim, take from that which already had been taken off, the Trumas HaLishka, because there are opinions that say that that is not allowed to be used for the Korban HaSibur, which we'll see in a moment. In any event, the first Trumas HaLishka, that was done, Torah Mes HaRishona, L'Shem Eretz Yisrael, that was done on behalf of all the people who live in Eretz Yisrael. They, Mestam, were able to get up to Yerushalayim and bring their Matzah Tzashekel before the fiscal year started. Even if they didn't, everybody in Klai Yisrael was included in those first funds that were brought in there. So that was done on behalf of all the people, so to say, that lived in Eretz Yisrael that could get there in time. Vashniya, the second Trumas HaLishka, which was done 15 days before Shavuos, that was L'Shem Kerachim HaMukofim La. That was for the people that lived near Eretz Yisrael, in the large walled cities that were near Eretz Yisrael, as the Tikkun Charkin says, Hainu Makomos Hasmuchim Shayu Mevin Bishniya. These were people that took them a little bit more time to get there, but they got there still relatively early in the fiscal year, and there was there for the second taking, the second Trumas Elishka was done, so to say, on their behalf. Again, all of them are done on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael. But these funds came from those cities that were near Eretz Yisrael. And the third, that was some people that were really far away, it took them a while to get up to Eretz Yisrael. By Shlishis, L'shem Bavel, L'shem Madai, U'l'shem, and we turn to the Yom Days, Medinos Harachokos. This was from these places. They were from Bavel, Madai, and other faraway places. And the third, Trumas Halishka, was mostly funds from them. Morris starts off and says, the household of Rabbi Gamliel, they specifically tried to have their coins used physically in the Trumas Halishka. How come? Morris says, if your person has two piles of produce, and he's going to take off Trumas and Maisos from one of them on both of the piles, so what difference does it make which ones he takes off Trumas and Maisos? All of them are Me'usar. So he takes off from pile number one, and that is going to go and count for pile number two as well. So, Shemalo Pata Chavero, are you telling me that pile number two, which didn't have actually the Truma taken from it, is not Me'usar? Of course it's Me'usar. So, same thing over here. Why did they try specifically to have their coins taken as the Matzis Teshekel coins that would be used to actually purchase the Korbanos? What difference did it make? They were Yotzi, the Mitzvah, Matzis Teshekel, and the Korbanos were brought on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael. So what did they accomplish by doing this? So one says, right, halachically they accomplished nothing. However, Hanochas Ruach Ilohem, they felt very good. It gave them a great sense of satisfaction that their coins physically were the ones that were actually used to purchase the Korbanos. Shloye Korban Miskarev Ela Mishelahen Tchila. They wanted to know the satisfaction that their actual coins purchased the Korbanos. From a halachic point of view, made no difference. But they got derived a great deal of satisfaction from doing it this way. Or it says, Tony, we learned in a braisa, Shomat Esa Katavlios, if by accident the leather covers that were on top of the Shiori Halishka were in fact removed, and now some of the coins that were collected subsequent to that, that were on top of the Katavlios, mixed with the coins that were below the Katavlios, Nasu Kulun Shirayim, all of them now have the status of being the Shirayim, and according to the opinion that you can't use those for the Korbanos of that year, this is going to be Shiori Halishka, which is used for Bedek Habayis and other things, which we'll learn later in the Masechta, so then you couldn't use it anymore if those coins that were above the Katavlios got mixed with the coins that were below the Katavlios. Tani, we learn further, Shlishish he haysa Ashira Shebekulan. The third collection, which was for the people that were far away, from the Medinos Rechokos, so we said that has the most money in it. Why? Because they would bring up gold coins, as opposed to the people that were nearby. They threw in their own Maxis HaShekel. But the people that were coming from far away, they were allowed to exchange their coins, so they didn't have so much to carry. The Shluchim that came from far away didn't want to have to carry a lot of small change, so they carry these big golden coins, the Darkonos. So that's what it says over here, that the third collection, they had the most gold coins in it. Shayuba, now we have two different girsos over here. The first girsa is Shayuba Istaryoyos Shozov, Vidarkono Shozov, that they had these various types of coins, either known as Istaryos or Darkonos. This Istaryo or this Darkon was a certain type of gold coin. Now, they were going to exchange the Maxis HaShekels on these larger gold coins, and that's why they had these larger gold coins in this collection. Others have the gears over here. It's not Istaryos, but it's Itzdele. And Itzdele, the Korban Eda tells us, is Begodim. So it tells us that the Targum of the Chamesh Chalifos Smolos that were given by Yosef to Binyamin, so it says over there that the Taich of that is V'chamesh Itzdele. So these five sets of garments that were given by Yosef, so they're called Itzdelos. So here, they carried up the Darkonos, which was the only coin that was mentioned previously as being a golden coin that you exchange the Maxis Shekel on, so they carried up in these very expensive, fancy Itzdeli, which were garments of some sort. In any event, Tani, we learn further in that Braisa, Tarmas HaRishona, L'Shem Eretz Yisrael, L'Shem Kol Yisrael. So the first collection that they did was mostly for the people in Eretz Yisrael, but it was on behalf of all Yisrael, as I mentioned. Shneilahem, the second one, Shnia, L'shem Krachim Hamukafim U'l'shem Kol Yisrael. It was done mostly for, it was taken from the funds, mostly from the people that lived near Eretz Yisrael, but it was done L'shem Kol Yisrael. As I mentioned, all of the funds were done on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael. And the Shlishis, the third collection, that was L'shem Bavel, Mordei, L'shem Medinos, or Chokos, as we pointed out, that came from the faraway places. above more than Shemedinos Rechokos, Ulashem Kai Yisrael, but they also did it on behalf of all of Kai Yisrael. Tani, further we learn, Notal Min Arishona, when they took out from the first one, and I explained this when we did the Mishnah, this is where I got it from this Brisa. So when they did the Trumas HaLishkan, they put it into the Aleph, Beis, and Gimel boxes. So Afa Pi Sheyesh Barishona, even though they're still in the Aleph box, still funds left, they wouldn't finish off the Aleph box. They would then start already taking no Tobin Ashnia. They would start taking from the second one. The Tiklun Chadatin says, Eino Meriko Lagavre, they wouldn't clean out the first box first. Shetzorik Lesafik Mikol HaGimel, they want to go and take from the Trumas HaLishka eventually from box A, box B, and box C, Aleph, Beis, and Gimel. Because this is based upon the Pasuk that we brought down, the Madnu Aleinu Lotzeis Shlishis HaShekel, that was the Pasuk from Nehemiah. And therefore, they wanted to make sure that they got to all three. So they didn't just finish off one, then finish off two, because maybe they wouldn't need to get to three. So they started one, then they did some of two, and then they did some of three before they finished off both one and two. So that's what it tells us over here, that Alpha Pishesh Barishon, even though they're still left in box Aleph or Alpha, no Talmud Ashniyah, they would start taking from the Beis. No Talmud Ashniyah, and even though they started taking from the Beis, they wouldn't finish it off. Alpha Pishesh Barishniyah, there still was some left. No Talmud Ashniyah, they would then take from the third. Once they already took from the third, they accomplished this Asmachta from the Psukim in Nehemiah, Shlishis HaShekel, so now they would finish off the third, Shomo Shlishis, V'choz L'Shnia, then they go back and take any, if they needed additional funds for the second box. And then Shomo Shnia, if they finished off the second box, V'choz L'Shnia, then they go back to the first box. Now, what happens if they finished off all three, and Shomo Shloshton, and they still needed more funds? The Mepharshim explained, for example, let's say the animals went up in price, or the money just wasn't enough. So in that situation, what do? Shomu Shloshtun, they used up all the funds. Chozev Shoko, they went back and took funds, additional funds. Now, here we have a machlokis. Rav Meir Omer, Chozev L'Shirayim. Rav Meir said they didn't take from new funds that were brought in. They actually went back to the stuff that was underneath the Katav Loyos, and they were able to take from the Shiori Alishka. Shiori Rav Meir Omer, because Rav Meir's opinion was, Moal in Bishrayim, that in fact, a person would be Moal in the Shrayim. In other words, they still were able to be used for Korbanos. And that's why, Shemo Yitztarchu, lend us up, because in case they ran out of funds from Aleph, Beis, and Gimel boxes, they could go back there. So therefore, Rame's opinion was, not like the Tanakhama, Rame's opinion was that they went and took from the Shari Elishka, whereas the Tanakhama says they took, if they needed more funds, they took from the stuff that was above the Katav Loyos. Now, since we just had a discussion about it, Vehei Nikiyim Me'ashem Yisrael, we now bring down the following brisa. This brisa deals with a statement that Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair made. Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair is known throughout Shas as being a very, very holy person. It says even the donkey, Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, wouldn't go and eat something that wasn't tithed. So, V'cheinu Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, Omer, Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair said, Zrizus mevi'o l'dei nikius. Now, it says, and if a person is a zoriz, he does things with alacrity, that's going to bring him to being a clean person. Right, we have the famous statement that a non-Jewish person made, that cleanliness is second to godliness. So that's he stole it straight from our Gemara. In any event, we're going to read the Tiklun Chadatin for all of these expressions here to show you how one leads to the other. So the first one is Zrizus Mevi'o L'dei Nikius. The Tiklun Chadatin can be found over here right next to the start of the next Mishnah in the Gemara. So the next parak, Halacha Aleph. So right parallel to that is the Tikkun Chadatin, where he says, Zrizus hu ahefech hatzelus, that Zrizus is the opposite, doing things with alacrity is the opposite of being lazy. V'aydeisha ochos b'midas Zrizus, if the person does things with Zrizus, mevi'osu l'dei nikias, that's going to lead him to becoming clean. As we just said, hein v'chi haigadna, the nikiyim mibrios, that which we just said, that a person has to go out of his way to do things in a way that will lead to him being clean, he does it with Zrizus. And Kishu Zoriz, he continues, the mitzvah, so when a person does mitzvahs with alacrity, ha mitzvah mizorezes umluvenes mizvune mavis. So the mitzvah can go and protect you and clean you from death. That's why we say, if a Talmud Chacham does an Avera, right away we say, Vade Osa Tshuva Tekev, he does things, mitzvahs with alacrity, so Mistama, he does his Nikias also right away. Ayideiz Rizuso, Noki Michait. That's the first statement. Then it says, Nikiyus Mevi'o L'dei Tahara. Then when you're a clean person, you become a Tahar person. What does this mean? So the Tikkun Chadatin says, Taharas HaGuf B'Tefillah. This is talking about physically immersing your body. Sharshei naki mishum lichloch chatzitza. A person who's going to the mikveh has to make sure that he doesn't have any chatzitzas, any interpositions over there. Ubeloze ain't no tar, because if there is, he's not going to become tar. So too, spiritually, aydei nikiyas haguf, mavak chait bo litaras haneshama, that you get rid of the dust of the sins. Sheina tahora rak bechli naki. You can only become tar if your guf and your mind is clean. Kamo nefesh naki v'tzadik. So the next thing is tahara mevil de kedusha. Once you're tar, then you become kadosh. So it says by chilas kachim or chulin shenasu ayde tara sakodesh. So the person has to go and make himself holy ayde tara. So by becoming tar, he becomes kadosh. Calling nechdasim lazar tzvichin tefila. When you go into the azar, you have to do a tefila in order to go into the kachim area. Alternatively, brings out the gemara in brachos. And it's a geder. It's the fence that they did. Tova ledovar aveira. One person, one time, was invited by a woman to do a dvar aveira. He wanted to do a dvar aveira, and they said to him, "Is there 40 saw shata tovel? After you do this aveira, where are you going to go find the mikvah?" And because there was no mikvah there, it caused him to realize the error of his ways and perish, and he didn't do the sin. And they said, "Komokum shemar bekedusha who precious min arayis. If you're kadosh, you're going to separate yourself from arayis." So that's this idea that tahara mevidele kedusha and kedusha. That kedusha that you have, the next thing is mevil de anova. That's going to lead you to become a onov. Ayidei the Tikkun Chatikin says shaolech umiskadesh bedarche kedusha, by becoming more immersed in kedusha, kikdoshim ha'om divnei Hashem. You'll be like a holy person standing in front of Hashem. And when you're standing in front of Hashem, you're going to see the gedulas Hashem yisparach, the rav norosov. You're going to see how great he is, the naseh shofel, and it's going to humble you. The nivzadeinov, and you'll become a very, very humble person. The next thing is anova mivil de yirascheit. Anova will lead you to a fear of sin. How is that? The Tikkun Chatikin says aydei avanvesenuso, because of your humbleness, that you're saying you're nothing. So therefore, you're going to say, "How can I possibly do a sin?" And it's going to, your humbleness is going to make you say, "How can I possibly do a sin? I'm a nothing, and I'm going to do a sin." And therefore, it's going to lead to yirascheit. The Gemara then says, "And what is yirascheit going to do? This yirascheit is mevio lidei chasidus." The Tikkun Chatikin says, chasidus hu darga ilah. It's even a higher level of holiness. Lifni mishur sedin. You're going to do things above and beyond what the letter of the law says. Like the Gemara says, kol shi yiraso kodemis l'chachmasov. Somebody has yirascheit, and it takes precedence even to his wisdom, chachmasov miskayemis. That's going to have chachma that's going to last. And that's going to lead you to go do things lifni mishur sedin. He's afraid of doing sin. He's going to make gedarim. He's going to make all sorts of fences. It says, like by a nazir, to a nazir, you say, schar, schar, go around the vineyard. Don't go into the vineyard. There's no issur to go into a vineyard, but go around the vineyard. Don't take any chances. That's lifnei mishur sadin. V'ikra chasidus shlo yizbayish b'nei odom b'mila d'shmaya. The ikra chasidus is not afraid to do something. Well, what are people going to say about me? So therefore, that is this madrega that is going to lead you. Yerushalayim is going to lead you to chasidus. And chasidus mevila de ruach hakodesh. That's going to lead you to have ruach hakodesh. And that's because a person is going to be very happy if he does this. Aidei shesmeichim maseim. You're going to be proud of your deeds. Ben ashrin ashore elamitoch simcha. And therefore the shrin will be able to come upon you because you'll be a person that will be happy. You have nothing to be sad about. And that will lead to ruach hakodesh. And finally, ruach hakodesh mevila de tchias ameisim. Ruach hakodesh is going to lead to tchias ameisim. The Tikkun Chatikin says, kaidei sheizachichu haruchos v'yoraleim ruach mimorom ruach kedusha v'tara. Since all this holiness is going to come down upon you, that's going to lead to the ruchos and shavayim coming and resuscitating the dead. And finally, tchias ameisim mevila de elyo zochatov. That's going to lead to elyo coming and bringing Moshiach tzidkenu b'mehera b'yameinu. And now we have psukim to support all of this. We'll just run through the psukim. Zerizus mevila de nikiyus, the first statement that Rabbi Pinchas Yehuda said. How do we know that? Tchsev v'chila mikaper. V'chila means that you finish off doing the avoda, you do it with alacrity, that's going to lead to a kapara. Nikius mevila de tara. Where do we see that? Tesiv v'chipar le'akoyin v'tayre. After you have the kapara, you become tar. The kapara, the nikius, that's going to lead to tahara. And then tahara v'vila kedusha. Where do we see that? Tesiv. The pasuk says v'tiaro v'kitsho. When you become tar, you become holy. Kedusha Vilayda Nova, where do we see that? They'll sieve Kicho Amar Rom Venitsa. The holy one, the high elevated one said, Shochen Ad Vikados Shimo Morom Vikados Eshkom Vyezdako Shval Ruach. So it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm with those that are Shval Ruach. So therefore the Kedusha will lead you to humbleness. People that are holy, they'll be humble. Anova Mivil de Yirashay, where do we see that? They'll sieve Ekev Anova Yirashay, that the end product of Anova is Yirashayt. And Yirashayt Mivil de Chasidus, where do we see that? They'll sieve. The pasuk says, the Chesed Hashem Yolam, the Ad Olam, Ayireyav. That will be, the Chesed will be on those that are Yirashayt. Then Chasidus Mivil de Ruach HaKodesh, where do we see that? They'll sieve. Ozdi Barto Bechazon LaChasidecha. So the Chasidim, they'll be the ones that will get Ruach HaKodesh. And Ruach HaKodesh Mivil de Trias Amesim, where do we see that? They'll sieve. Venasati Ruchi Bochem V'chiyisem. My spirit will come on to you, and then there'll be Trias HaMeisim. Trias HaMeisim, Evil Dei Eliyahu Zohar Tov, where do we see that? The Siv, the famous passage at the end of the Torah in Malachi, where it tells us, Hinei Anochi Shalechem Es Eliyahu Navi, Lifnei Bo Yom Hashem Hagod V'Norah. Eliyahu's going to come, B'ezus Hashem B'mheiro B'yameinu, on that great day, on the Shabbos Hagodol HaTorah that we're going to read this week. For some of you that are listening to this during Chol HaMoed Pesach, this will be the Shabbos HaGadol HaTorah, the last words that we read on Shabbos HaGadol. Finally, we conclude the parak with the words Tana B'Shem Rav Meir, learn in the Braisa in the name of Rav Meir. We delete the word Omer. Kol Misha Kavua B'Eretz Yisrael, somebody who lives in Eretz Yisrael. Umedabe B'Loshan HaKodesh, and he speaks Hebrew. The Karbon Eder explains Shigori's Taras and Ephes. If you speak Hebrew, it leads to being a holier person. Living in Eretz Yisrael leads to being a holier person. This is why one of the reasons why we left Mitzrayim, that we didn't change our names and we didn't change our language. So, and we went to Eretz Yisrael. The zechus of going to Eretz Yisrael is a tremendous zechus to live in Eretz Yisrael. V'ochal pirosa b'tara, he eats his fruits b'tara, even fruits that he doesn't have to eat b'tara, he's eating chulin al taras hakodesh, so that's a great level of a madrega for a person to reach. And likewise, v'kori kriyashma b'boker b'erev, he learns every day, he reads kriyashma every day in the morning and night. Such a person, Yimavusar, Sheben Olam Abahu. Such a person, certainly you can announce that he will be a Ben Olam Abah. As the Tikkun Chadid says, Aide Tikkun Shleimuso, who Ben Olam Abah. All of these things will improve his character, will make him into a great person, that certainly you can be guaranteed that such a person will be a Ben Olam Abah. Hadron Alecha Bishlosha Prokim, Hadron Alecha Bishlosha Prokim, Hadron Alecha Bishlosha Prokim. Let us begin the next parak. Halacha Aleph. We begin the fourth parak. Atruma Mal Yosimba. We've been talking about the Trumas HaLishka. What would they do with the Matzah Shekel funds? So the Mishnah tells us, Lochim bought Tamidim and Musafim. They would go and purchase all the Korbanos Sibra, the daily Korban Tomid in the morning, and Bein Arbayim, and the Korbanos Musaf that he needed on Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, the Yom Tovim, etc. Likewise, they would go and purchase the Niskeim, all the Nisachim, the wine, and the flour libations that came along with these Korbanos. And, as well, the Omer, the Korban Omer that was brought on the first day of Chol HaMoed, Pesach, Mitzvah Hashem, we look forward to bringing it this year in the Beis HaMikdash HaBinuyah, Ushtei Alechem, the special two breads that were brought with the Kivsei Atzeres, the only Korban Shlomim that was a Korban Sibur on Shavuos, and likewise Alechem upon him that were put on the Shulchan every Shabbos and taken off every Shabbos and eaten a week later by the Kohanim, the whole Korban Sibur and any other Korban Sibur that were needed during the year, they came from the funds from the Trumas HaLishka. Then it tells us, Shomrei Svichim B'Shviyas, those people that would watch the growths that they needed for these various mincha offerings in the Shemitah year, so there was no guarantee that there would be anything left in the fields, so they would assign Shomrim to go and watch those Svichim, those growths, so they would be able to be used for the Beis HaMikdash, so they had to pay those people, so they were also, Notlin Schoron, they would go and take their wages, Mitrumas HaLishka, from the Trumas HaLishka. Rav Yossi disagreed. Rav Yossi, Omer, Afarotze, Misnadev, Shomachinim. If somebody wished to, we didn't have to take wages for that. They didn't have to pay them. The Tanakhama says you had to pay them. And we'll see why in the Gemara. But Rav Yossi said, no, if they wanted to, they could work voluntarily. Armelo, the Chachamim, the Tanakhama, said to Rav Yossi, no. Afa to Omer, Shem Bo and Eloh, we turn to Yud Omer Aleph. We say that they come, Mishel Tzibur. You agree that the Svichim have to come from the Tzibur, and they can't come from these private individuals. And if you pay them, then they may keep the Svichim for themselves and then donate it, and that's not allowed. So therefore, you agree with us that this has to come from the Tzibur. There are a number of different ways to understand this. Machlokes between Rav Yossi and the Tanakhama, the Chachamim, Yitz Hashem, will pick this up tomorrow when we continue at this point. This concludes today's shir.